Boy, it's so good to be back today at Bosque Dell. Well, I've got a little bit of change in plans this morning. I had a sermon from a couple weeks ago I was going to preach this morning. My heart really stirred within me, and the Lord has brought a message to me this morning that I believe we need to hear. And I tell you what, I love it. I love it when I have a sermon ready and God changes it. Now, a lot of preachers would go, now, God, I worked on this for a while. But you know what? When God gives you a sermon, you know there's a reason for it to happen. So, in your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 4. Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 4. Today, I'm going to be preaching about sin. So, I want you to open your hearts, be ready to receive from the Lord. When you get to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. Alas, sinful nation, people weighed down with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, sons who act corruptly. They have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away from Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so thankful for the reading of Your Word. God, today, I pray that this message will go forth. Father, that it will every word from You, and Lord, through Your Holy Spirit, touch our hearts, convict us. And Father God, if there's sin in our life that is unconfessed, or if we have strayed away, then God, today I pray that You will get a hold of every one of us, and that God, we will hit our knees today, that we will come back to You as Your people. And Father, we ask and pray that Father, You move upon people's hearts and lives today and touch them and transform them. And if anyone's got a decision that needs to be made today, then we pray, Father, they will come to the altar and get things right with You. And we ask it all now in the holy and mighty and precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. What is sin? There are some answers that could be given from the modern world, but the Bible gives an answer to what sin is. It is the breaking of God's law. It's disobeying God's commandments. It's saying no to God and saying yes to our own fleshly desires. Now, the passage I read this morning, the Israelites had been held in captivity for quite some time. And God, through His power and graciousness, had delivered the Israelites, and they were going through a time where they were thankful. But then what happens in the human life is after some time, the flesh starts to creep back in, and people started to seek their own ways, their own desires. They want things to happen how they want it to happen. And then they start to separate themselves from God, and they find themselves going back down an entire wrong road. And isn't it amazing how we, as human beings, how we could turn from God when He has done so many wonderful things for us? Now, in the lives of the Israelites, we see that the things that they had done. There was also a time when they'd spent time in the wilderness. They'd gone around the mountain many times and they'd seen God do many things. And you remember that they started to take gold and they started to melt and they started to make an idol and they started to worship idols. And that's what we are seeing in our world today. We are seeing Christian churches even starting to accept sin, and they're starting to call it, it's okay, And they're doing this because they're saying, well, God's grace will cover our sin. We've gotten to a point, I believe, in our churches today of what I would say ignorance, because we are not abiding by God's laws and commandments. We can say that we have a rebellious spirit when it comes to sin. Now, when did sin first come about? We know what happened in the Garden of Eden. God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, gave them everything that they could want, but he told them that they could not eat of the fruit of the tree of life and knowledge. He told them to stay away from it. And then Satan comes along, and Satan comes up to Eve, and he starts to twist what God commanded them not to do. Satan told Eve, now, surely, if you eat of this fruit, you won't die. You don't think that God would actually do that to you, do you? Actually, you will become like God. These are the things, the lies that Satan was filling into Eve's mind. And Eve was tempted. She started to doubt what God had told her. And then wonderment filled her mind. And then she starts thinking, well, maybe if I go ahead and eat of that fruit, I'll be all right. Maybe, you know, if I'm going to be like God. So all these things started to come about, and Satan caused Eve to fall, and she ate of the fruit, and then she took the fruit to Adam, and Adam ate of the fruit, and guess what happened? Just like a bolt of lightning struck both of them, they're both standing there. They realized they had finally sinned against God. They realized they were naked. And what happened? What happened as soon as they realized they sinned? They feared God. They feared what would happen to them because they disobeyed. And the Bible says that they went and hid themselves. They actually had taken fig leaves and made coverings for their bodies because they realized they were naked. But then they go and they hide from God, and God is moving, walking about through the Garden of Eden, and he's calling out to Adam and Eve, and he says, where are you? Well, then Adam says, well, we're right here. Basically, let me just cut this short. We're hiding from you because we sinned against you. And we're afraid. And then God basically called them out on what their sin was. And you know what God did? God told them, he kicked them out of the Garden of Eden, and he told them that there was going to be consequences. There was consequences they were going to have to pay for the price of their sin. So what? They had perfection. They had a beautiful place. And then now, all of a sudden, they're cast out into a lonely, dark world filled with sin. And they're going to have to work the land. They're going to suffer pain. They're going to go through sickness. They're going to experience trials, all because of their disobedience. And today, we see people who are living in sin. We see it happening in our churches. And we act like that the consequences don't even pertain to us. We act like we can sin and live however we want, and we can conduct ourselves opposite of God's law, and we're still going to be okay and get to heaven because we have our fire insurance. That's what we're living today. We've got people who actually go to church, And instead of righteous fellowship, and instead of there being love, and you can see it happening in every church, there's gossiping, there's backbiting, there's quarreling, there's all kinds of negativity going on in the church house. Everybody wants their own way fulfilled. Everybody wants to see their desires come forth, their ideas happen, and it causes turmoil. And then people live their lives. They go to church on Sunday, But boy, they'll go throughout the entire week cussing like a sailor and backbiting and speaking with a forked tongue and never think that God's going to hold them accountable. You, I'll give you kind of a little bit of an example here. There's people get out here on the roadways and they'll be driving their car. And there's a sign every so many feet or miles, whatever you want to say, called a speed limit. And you know what that speed limit means? That's what you're supposed to drive on that roadway. And if it says 55, I guarantee you there's some folks out there that are going 60. And there's some folks who are going 65 and 70 because they're in a hurry to get somewhere. And they think that the speed limit does not apply to them. So they just go ahead and they break that speed limit and they drive at whatever speed they want because they feel like they're entitled to do so. And there yet there's folks. I'll be driving down the road and we was going down the interstate on a Friday, heading down, got into Arkansas. The speed limit is 75 miles an hour now. I put it on 75 miles an hour, and people on Interstate 55 in a construction zone, whoom, 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 passing, I mean, fast as they could go, and going around me like I'm sitting still. And every time I do this, I say, Lord, let there be a cop down there with his radar gun on, and I hope they get pulled over. And Janine will say, that ain't very nice. I go, yes, it is. There should be a consequence for the wrong that we do. And in our lives today, we need to stop acting like we are entitled. And I'm even speaking to myself. I'm not preaching just to all of you. I'm preaching to me. And if the world outside of here could hear this message, I would hope that they would hear it as well and take it seriously. A time of judgment is coming, and we as God's people are living like it's never going to happen, or like it's not going to happen tomorrow, or maybe even the next day. We act like that because we have God's grace, we can conduct ourselves how we see fit, and it's just fine and dandy. Well, God has given us His Word. God has given us a set of laws, just like we should obey that speed limit and drive it. We should obey the Word of God. You can live a life of sin, and I want to tell you this. You might think you're okay now, but you know what? You're weaving for yourself a path of destruction. You're sowing destruction. And that's what you're going to reap. What you do in this life, there will be consequences for sin. You look at Sodom and Gomorrah. God had been telling these people He was going to destroy them. He wanted them to turn from their wicked ways. And I shouldn't have to tell you what kind of sin was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. But finally, God had enough, and God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone. People were wiped out. Because of man's sin, God sent a flood for 40 days and 40 nights it rained to wipe out the evil because He was really hoping that somehow maybe people would see the error of their ways. And Noah and his family being so righteous and so faithful that maybe there would be some good come out of that. But you know what? God knew that when sin started, it was going to be here. And God knew that there was no other way for us to escape the penalty of sin. There was no other way but to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And yet I wonder, how many times do we actually get on our faces? How many times do we actually pray? How many times do we go to church and seek God's way? How many times do we show God's love within our family. The world cannot repair the damage of sin. It cannot make right what humanity has done. The only hope that we have is in Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage everyone today, if you have sin in your life, I want you to know that you will be held accountable for it. And if you let it continue to go on, it will destroy your life. It will rob you of your joy. It will take away your peace. It will literally rot your life from the inside out, and you will continue to distance yourself from God. And the entire time, all God is wanting you to do, God is wanting you to come back to Him. God is pleading with us. But I also believe there might be a time that God's going to just say, well, now I'm going to leave them. I'm going to leave it on their shoulders to come back to me. God has given us so many opportunities. But when He gave us Jesus, that was the greatest gift we could have ever received. But yet we act like Jesus doesn't even exist in our own lives. See, the prophet Isaiah had wrote to these people of Israel because they were in deep trouble due to their sin. The message of the prophets and of the Bible was a call to repentance and faith. And that's the message that I heard Friday night. We need to be repenting. We need to be turning from our wicked ways. We need to be coming and falling before God. And we need to ask God to search our hearts and show us what's there that needs to be changed and things that need to be gotten rid of. We need to be committed to God each and every day. If we live a life that is founded on Jesus Christ, we've got a solid foundation. And we're going to go through things. And you know what? There's still going to be sin in our life. But if we're committed to Christ, it's going to cause us to lean on Him. It's going to cause us to turn to Him every time we have something going on. It's going to cause us to obey His commandments. And it's also going to cause us to live a righteous life. I saw on TV here not long ago on the news where a church has decided that it's okay to do what you want, live how you want. It's all right because God's got you covered. And now they are taking God's word and they are turning it completely around. And that's what the devil did to Eve in the Garden of Eden. The devil is doing it to people today. He is taking God's word and he is actually twisting it, what people read. The devil is twisting that word and speaking it to our hearts and minds, trying to make us believe something totally opposite. And then, sadly, people accept it and they start to make it a part of their life. And then, guess what? The people start saying, well, everybody else is doing it. I might as well do it too. And that's where we're at in life. Just like being out on the highway. If you're going the speed limit and everybody else is going above the speed limit and you know they're breaking the law, does that mean that you go ahead and join them? No. My mother used to tell me, I had a friend who was pretty, he was just dumb. I'll just say that. He was dumb. He didn't listen to his parents. He wanted to do his... He was spoiled is what the problem was. They spoiled him too much. And he always wanted his own way. And he used to do some of the dumbest stuff. I call it dumb now. But back when I was a kid hanging out with him, I thought he was pretty cool. And my mother said, your friend... I've never seen anybody that, now go use my mom's word, she said stupid. I ain't never seen by that stupid. And I said, but Mom, he's my friend. And my mother used to use that line with me. Well, if your friend went and jumped off of a cliff, would you jump off that cliff too because he did it? I said, well, no, I wouldn't. She said, then why are you acting like him? She said, you come home and you're acting like your friend Mark. She said, you know what that's going to get you? She said, that's going to get you a belt up your backside, and I'm about to readjust your attitude. And I think we as Christian people, we're at a place where there's a lot of Christians that I think God needs to start readjusting some attitudes. And God's going to do that by allowing things to happen in your life. Now, God will not do bad things to you. Listen to that. God will not do bad things to you. But I do believe that because of our sin, the consequences will be that what we're doing wrong, He will allow us to go through things hoping to open our eyes and open our hearts and come back to Him. And some people have to ultimately get to the point where they're down at the lowest they can go, that all they can do is look up. There's a neat little illustration. This donkey had walked along and fallen into a really deep hole. And the old farmer come by and he heard the donkey bellowing or whatever sound they make there, whatever they call it. And the farmer got to that big old deep hole and he realized he couldn't get that donkey out of that hole. There was no way he could get that donkey out. So that old farmer, he decided, well, you know what? I'm just going to have to throw some dirt in the hole and bury him alive and just leave it be. Well, next morning the farmer come along, got his big old truck, had full of dirt, and he took a shovel and he started to shovel dirt into that hole. And every time that dirt would hit that donkey would shake that dirt off and it'd get on the ground and he'd stomp it down. And the more dirt they got thrown into that hole, the donkey would shake that dirt off and pat it down underneath its feet. But after so much time and so much dirt, that donkey was able to get just enough to where the farmer could get him out of the hole. And I say that to say this. There are a lot of Christians who've gotten themselves down into a hole, and God has given you a lot of so-called dirt, well, what would be dirt on your back? Ways to help you get out of that hole, but you just let the dirt keep falling on top of you. You just decided, well, I'm here. There ain't no hope for me. I might as well stay here. And sadly, that's what's happened to a lot of people today. And when we adopt that identity, when we take on the identity that we're defeated, then that's exactly what we'll be. If Jesus died for our sin and His blood covered it, that doesn't give us a free pass to go live life how we want to live it. It doesn't mean we go to church on Sunday and tell dirty jokes and gossip and live however we want it throughout the week and then come back on Sunday. I listened to a preacher tell a true story about their family. And the preacher said, we'd get in the car, me and my wife and two kids, and we'd be going to church, and the fighting was going on at home, and they'd fight and bicker in the car. He said, wife turned around and smacked the kids in the back seat because they was acting up, and then the husband and the wife arguing and fighting. But as soon as they got to church and they got on that parking lot and they got out of the car, boy, it was an instant change. Well, hallelujah. Amen, brother. How are you today, Sister Sally? Well, Brother Bob, good to see you. Praise God, isn't He good? And all the way to church and all week long, they'd been fighting and living in discord, and they really couldn't see the error of their ways because Satan had them blinded. Satan has us blinded today with sin. Satan has us blinded that we're okay living the way that we are. I want to tell you this, you're not okay living the way you are. There's a lot of people that have died in their sin and they had to stand before God and then to be eternally separated. I want us to think about that. What would it be like for us if we stood before God, we died, and we stood before God only to hear God say, "Depart from me, I didn't know you." Well, God, I witnessed. I went to church. I taught Sunday school. I even went down and helped my neighbor do things a few times. And I volunteered on church work days. What? Then God's going to say, "Depart from me, I didn't know you." Because the life of sin that you lead has consequences. This world today thinks that it's progressing, but without God, it's going totally backward to corruption. It is time that you and I as Christians make up our minds and say, "I'm going to get serious about my life." It's time that Jim Cooper says, "God, I need you to change me. And Father, when I get to the place where I need to be, then God, put me in direct line in the path of somebody else that I can witness and minister to them, that I can tell them about Jesus and lead them to Christ and then help disciple them. I need to get things right in my life because I am still a human. Because I'm in this pulpit does not make me better than anybody else. It doesn't put me on a plateau up here, and it doesn't give me any favors with God at all. I want you to know that. I am just the same as Laura Lipe. I am just the same as Jane Evans. I am a child of God. We're all on the same level together. But I have to be an example. I have to be what you see at church is what you see out in the streets, what you see at home. What my family sees is what is portrayed in this church. Do I fail? Yes, but I strive every day to be better. I strive every day to change, to do what God wants me to do, to be more committed to Him in my relationship. See, my relationship with Jesus Christ, it's the most important thing ever. Nothing else in this world matters than my relationship with Jesus. He did all for me. Now I want to do everything for Him. If I die, I want to stand before the Lord and I want to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." And then I want to lay down that cross and I want to pick up whatever rewards I have obtained, and then I want to take those and place them at the foot of Jesus, because I'll tell you this, nothing in my life, I've never done anything to gain the rewards I receive. Jesus did it all through me. And I want Jesus to receive all of the honor and the glory. So if we're Christian people, then we need to be repenting. We need to look at our lives and we need to look at sin as what it is. It's sin. It's dirty. It's disgusting. And it will separate you from God. It will destroy your life. And you won't find favor with the Lord when you're living apart and aside from Him. Sin spreads from individuals to corrupt communities, societies, and nations. Look at our world right now. You know what's going on in our world right now? Now humans would have certain words to describe it. You know what it is? Sin. Sin. That's what's going on in our world today. And we have become corrupt communities, societies, and nations because we are turning away from God. I don't know if you've seen it on the news, but up in Seattle, the mayor of Seattle, Washington, they're trying to arrest Christians for reading the Bible. They don't even want Christians allowed in Seattle, Washington anymore. The mayor there wants to push them all out. But yet, thank God, Christians up there are still trusting the Lord, and they're calling out to Him, and they're not backing down. And that's what you and I need to be doing. See, when we get to the end of this life, and we hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," then you'll know what you did for God here on this earth. It wasn't done in vain. Because you're going to get to spend an eternity with the Lord forever and forever. But if we continue to dabble in sin, if we continue to live life how we want to live it, then there'll never ever be a change. But you know what it takes? One person. I hope every one of us in here this morning is going to stand up and say, "I will be that one person that makes the difference. I don't care what my friends and co-workers and everybody else is living in the world. I'm going to make the difference. I'm going to show the love of Christ. I'm going to choose not to live in sin." See, you got two choices. You can either live for God or you can reject Him. If you live for God, you believe on Him and you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you live and obey His commandments, you've got it going good. You're going to still go through rough stuff, but you've got it pretty good. But if you go separate and you decide to live your own life, then you've paved your way straight to hell. You made the decision. I hope and pray that this message has spoken to hearts this morning, because I know that the Lord is coming soon. I don't know when. I don't know the day or the hour. Only God the Father knows that. But I'm telling you, we'll know the seasons. We'll know the time. And it's here. We better get serious. If you've got sin in your life that's unconfessed, if you've been running from God, there's an altar open here. You can pray at your seat, but I pray that this morning you will say, "Lord, I'm coming back to You. I want to rededicate my life." Or, "Father, I need to be saved. I don't know Jesus. And if I died, I'd go straight to hell right now." If that's you this morning, this altar's open.